You've got to find what you love. And that is as true for work as it is for your lovers. Your work is going to fill a large part of your life. And the only way to be truly satisfied is to do what you believe is great work. And the only way to do great work is to love what you do.
Hello, and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah, and I'm joined by three men who are so rugged, there's no doubt in my mind that Ned Stark would send them directly to the wall to be part of the Night's Watch. I'm talking, of course, about the Leander Caney. Hey, Leander. You've even got the right accent for it.
Yeah, right. And the right experience.
Too. And the right look.
A job like that.
And definitely the right smell. That smell of ruggedness. We've also got Buster Caney. Welcome, hey, Buster. Man. You will look good in furs.
Oh, I love furs, too. They just feel good on the body.
Alex Excelsior Heath is with us again. He'd probably be like the steward. Hey, Alex.
Yeah, definitely.
Hello.
Be the guy preparing the meals.
Oh, yeah.
Sharpening the swords. What a great show we have for you guys this week. So much to talk about. We're going to do an all-new Faves and Raves. We're going to talk about Tim Cook, y'all, on TV. There's some new iPhone rumors out there. We're going to talk about Apple's earnings. And before we do all that, though, I want to thank our sponsors, Sanebox. Do you get too much email?
Who doesn't get too much email?
Leander only gets like 60 an hour.
Yeah, I want more.
Then Sanebox is for you. It's a service that manages your emails for you. It moves unimportant emails out of your inbox and into a separate folder and then summarizes those unimportant emails in a digest. I've been using it, and it's been working really well. Go check it out. Sanebox, sanebox.com/cultcast. And give it a try, and we'll talk a little bit more about that experience and how I've been liking it later in the show. And then also, ting! Ting! That's the sound of you saving money on your wireless carrier bill. I just made that up right then.
That's pretty good.
Do you want a carrier that doesn't try to screw you over and overcharge you? Well, that's what Ting doesn't do. They only make you pay for the data that you use, the minutes and the texts. And best of all, there's no contracts. Go see how much you could save on your wireless bill. Cultcast.ting.com, y'all. I wanted to start with this, guys. This is truly, I think, this could be the best iOS accessory that has ever been crafted. And let me bring up my notes here. Let me see if I can find the official name. I don't have the official name here, but what it is a bra.
Oh, the automatic bra?
The automatic bra.
I own this.
You have one of these? And it has sensors in it, and it monitors a woman's heartbeats and other living statistics. And then when it realizes or when it detects that you're aroused or that you fall in love, it just go ahead and bloop, unsnaps the bra for you. So it just pops right off.
About four.
For those who are claspily challenged and have trouble with clasps, this might be something that you want to check into. I don't have a price here. But you know what? I'm not lying. This is a real product. What is it called? Do you guys have a name for this?
I thought it was just called the automatic bra.
The automatic bra.
Yeah, Charlie wrote about it.
Of course he did.
Do it with your iPhone too.
How lazy have we gotten? That we don't even want to undo a bra anymore.
Well, they are tricky, yeah.
They are tricky, especially if they have multiple clasps.
I still haven't, mastered
that technique. Well, maybe we get you a review unit.
Okay.
I'll test it.
You can put it on Alex and have it pop on and off for practice.
Yeah. That sounds really enticing.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, hey, so we on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecultcast, every Tuesday morning now we're asking people for topics that we should talk about and then also for get to know your cultist questions. We got a great question this week. It got a bunch of likes, so I thought I'd run this past you guys. This one comes from Jeremy Edwards. Hey, Jeremy. I know you. And you don't have to have a pick, but I did pick one. His question is, What is your favorite Steve Jobs quote? This is like the ultimate fanboy question. I love it. Does anyone have a pick besides me? Let's just put that out there.
Well, the only one that I immediately popped into my mind was when someone asked him what he likes to do in his spare time.
Yeah. Did he mention something about the automatic bra?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it's about. I like to go home and with my wife.
Oh, he'd be so proud.
My favorite is when he said the screen was lickable.
At least that's good, because at least he did say that, and it was an original. I feel like a lot of times people quote Steve Jobs as saying things, and Steve Jobs would quote other people quite often. Mm-hmm. Like when he said, "Stay hungry, stay foolish," I hear people quote him all the time on that, and I'm like, he's quoting somebody else. He was quoting the All Earth catalog or something?
Whole Earth, yeah.
The Whole Earth catalog. And people always account or give him credit for things that he never actually said. He was just quoting somebody else. But, Leander, what was yours?
Well, that one I just said.
Which was?
I like to go home and F Val CK my wife.
Did he really say that?
Yeah.
I thought you were kidding. Holy moly. I never read that quote before.
Look it up.
Among the I believe you. I'm not going to look it up because I believe you.
And I'm going to type it in right now.
Mine's a little bit more inspirational, I think. This is from the Stanford commencement address he gave in 2005. And I really love this quote. And he said, "The only way to do great work is to love what you do." And now I'm thinking about Leander's.
And to do what you love.
To do whom you love.
Wasn't he the one that did the whole, like, wasn't to be or not to be that him?
Yeah, to be or not to be. That is the question. Yeah. I believe that was the original start or Steve Jobs quote. Hold on. The quote continues. "If you haven't found it yet, keep looking. Don't settle. As with all matters of the heart, you'll know when you find it. And like any great relationship, it just gets better
That's
and better
not a quote.
As the years roll on." Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
That's
he said that.
Yeah.
And then he said, "And then I like to F my wife."
To which there was a long, awkward silence in the audience. Anyway, thanks for the question, Jeremy Edwards. Oh, Alex, Buster, did you guys have anything you wanted to add to that?
I've said like three.
Okay. Well, I mean like a real one.
The lickable one, that's real.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that was for a version of OS X, a previous version, huh?
Okay. Something like that. Yeah, it was like the Aqua interface.
So thank you. If you guys want to suggest topics, if you want to suggest get to know your cultist questions, please do. Facebook.com/TheCultCast, and we'll be putting up a post every Tuesday morning for you guys to do that. Let's start with the big story of the week, a topic that always excites people: earnings.
Oh yeah,
really exciting.
I get really excited. Almost excited as I do about the bra.
that bra, I'm serious. Why don't we ever see stuff like that in Macworld? I don't know. Those are the types of products that I want to report on.
Hands
the
on.
Important ones. Hands on with the with the automatic bra.
Meaning.
Actually, hands off with the automatic bra. So guys, Alex, Buster, Apple talked about their earnings this week. And could you enlighten us and tell us how exciting and how much money they made? And
they made
all
a
that
lot
great
of
stuff.
Money.
Okay.
A lot of money. They sold more iPads and iPhones than ever before in a quarter, which was really good.
Mm-hmm.
But then Wall Street wasn't impressed because they didn't meet analysts' expectations on their iPhone sales. So, of course, the stock plummeted immediately after the announcement.
That's so crazy that they sold more than ever before. It makes me wonder where these estimates come from, because how do they calculate these estimates? Because they always base so much on them.
They basically are wanting every person on Earth to own an iPhone, and until that happens, Apple's going to not meet expectations.
But when it does happen, that's when their stock's going
to
plummet, right?
Then we look to outer space.
Well, I think when they worried quite specifically about the number of iPhone sales in North America and the
right,
fact that Apple didn't sell as many as they thought means that the market is softening or it's getting saturated. Yeah. And
they thought the 5C was going to be the big draw, wasn't it? And it really turned out not to be that.
Yeah, well, I think what they're worried about is that Apple's run out of steam, right? So this is why Wall Street's punishing the stock, because they think they've had their day and Android's going to take over. But
Right,
because you're always trading on future growth, not current earnings. And so the potential there for the iPhone to make a lot of money in North America, like in the future, is pretty limited now because everybody has a smartphone. So unless like the China deal becomes huge, which Tim Cook said they're, you know, it's, they have more activations than ever before. It's kind of hard to see Apple, you know, the iPhone part of the business becoming like even bigger than it is going to be.
But there were a couple of things though, right? I mean, they sold more 5S's. They thought they were going to sell more 5C's.
Right.
And well, they did, and they sold more 5S's than they thought. So they had trouble catching up with that. Uh-huh. You know, and I think that that's a lot of people who are upgrading.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a huge upgrade market.
Well, and they even admitted that they would have sold more iPhones if they wouldn't have had such so many production issues with the 5S. Remember how hard it was to get your hands on one?
Yeah, right.
And that he even said during the call that we had missed sales because we just couldn't make enough. So I don't, I don't think they expected the 5S to be so much hotter than the 5C. I think they thought the 5C was going to be equally, if not more desired, and it turned out to be the other way. People still want the hottest thing with the latest tech.
There was one report, though, wasn't there, that the 5C is pretty popular with Android switches or first-time smartphone buyers?
First-time iPhone owners, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, how many... I've seen a couple iPhone 5Cs in the wild.
I've seen
quite a few. But I've been surprised that people buy it because it's no better than the iPhone 5, but I don't think it's as bad as it's been made out to be.
I'm surprised by how many people are just they make their decision based on a, like a $100 difference. Like if they can get it for $99 instead of $200, they don't really care.
Huh.
So because it's $99, or there's still people I know that got a 4S because it's $0.
Really?
It's bizarre.
They
but
just don't
people,
care about. You
yeah,
know.
There's a lot of people that that's don't cool. care about having the newest thing, and I think that's what that the that's the market that phone is targeted for.
Well, is it funny? There's a lot of people who get them and don't want to use the apps.
Right.
You know, have no interest in running apps, running games, you know, doing anything with it except making calls or maybe surfing the net.
Yeah, that's my mom. I got her an iPad, and I don't think she's ever installed an app. And the only time apps ever get installed is when she asks me if it could do X, Y, Z, and I'm like, I'm sure it can. Let's just look at the App Store, and then I download them for her. But I think she's still kind of scared by the whole idea of downloading apps and searching for apps, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm, right.
So she just kind of uses it just to kind of, you know, use Facebook, look at pictures of my dog, and then make FaceTime calls with me. It's kind of like become her communication device. It's been great.
Mm-hmm, right.
Well, hey, since we're talking about the iPhone, there was a Wall Street Journal rumor that Apple is planning on doing a few new things with the iPhone that I want to talk about here in just a minute. But before we do that, I do want to say thank you, Sanebox, for sponsoring the show. I've been trying it out, and Leander, you said you've been giving it a whirl as well, right?
Yeah, I've been using it for quite a time now. I mean, maybe a year or more.
Oh, wow. You've been using it for a whole long time.
Yeah.
So for those of you who are not familiar with it, basically what Sanebox does is it allows you to manage your email much more efficiently, and it connects to any of your email providers, Gmail, Hotmail, whatever you use. And then it learns by reading the message headers exactly how you're reading your email. And so if you don't open an email, or if you're constantly moving emails around in a certain way, it learns those functions and then it starts to do them for you. And it's been really great for me because I get a ton of just, you know, junk email. And it all goes into your inbox, and then you end up with like 200, 300, 400, 1,000 unread emails. And Sanebox makes it manageable because it will automatically move emails that it doesn't think you want to read, and it's very smart about determining which ones those are, into another folder. So you can browse them if you want, but if you don't want to browse them, it will send you a daily digest of just like the titles of the emails, and you can peruse them all. And then if you don't want to read them, you just hit delete, and it deletes all of them for you. Really super handy. So if you want to give it a shot, go over to sanebox.com/cultcast. You can try it for free. I think the trial is 2 weeks. If you decide you like it, going to sanebox.com/cultcast will qualify you for a $10 credit. And you can try all of its bells and whistles and use it for longer than 2 weeks. Definitely think you should try it out if your email has become unmanageable. We want to thank them for sponsoring the show. Guys, a lot of people were asking me on our Facebook page about iPhone features that we want to see. And Wall Street Journal recently said that they think that Apple's going to kill off the 5C, which I would be really surprised if they did. And then that we're going to get two larger screen iPhones. I think that's come fall, yes? When we get iPhone refreshes?
By the end of the year, yeah.
By the end of the year. That's a no-brainer. And when people ask me what I want to see for a new iPhone feature, that's always it. Like,
for the biggest screen?
I want the biggest, massivest screen that they can put on it. In fact, you know what? Just change the branding on the iPad mini to iPhone 6, and I think I'd be happy.
You got it right.
I'm going to have to get some new pants or maybe a cool belt holster. They should just include that for free.
Wait, that's a chest holster.
Have you seen people holding the like Galaxy Note? It looks ridiculous.
There's one that's even bigger than that. I can't remember. Actually, maybe it was the Galaxy Note. I saw a guy holding it, and it did. It looked ridiculous. This thing will have like a 7-inch screen.
It looks like the most uncomfortable way to use a phone.
Yeah, especially if you have girl hands, I understand.
No, I have huge hands.
But the the Galaxy S4 is, I mean, that's not a bad size, is it? I mean, I definitely got screen envy when I look at that.
Yeah. I think that's a great size. I would love to see like a 5 or 6-inch screen. I want it to be as big as it can possibly be without being uncomfortable in my pocket. That's how big I want it to be.
Well, the bigger issue probably is battery, right? I mean, it's going to drain the battery. I don't know how long the battery lasts.
But they have more space in the case to put battery.
Yeah.
Because you got to think, like, the internal components that drive the screen are probably going to be about the same size in a 4-inch screen phone or a 6-inch screen phone, but they have more space for battery.
Yeah. Huh.
So maybe it would be about the same.
Well, that's the big unheralded feature of the 5S, I think, is how great its battery life is. I mean, you know, I only have to charge my phone up occasionally now. It used to be, you know, you had to plug it in religiously every night.
You don't charge your phone every day?
No, I charge it.
Oh, you have a 5S. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I have a 5, and I'm like, I have to charge mine sometimes twice a day.
Oh, really?
Not very often. I mean, when we're at CES, it's twice a day.
Yeah, well, you know, on special occasions like that. But like day to day, you know, it's like every other day, or I plug it in when I'm, when I'm here at work. But, you know, you can forget it for a couple of days and pick it up, and it'll still have a charge.
Do you guys think that the 5S is that much drastically better than the 5? You guys all have 5S's, right?
Yeah. No, it's not drastically better at all.
Is Leander just lying over there? He's just like,
I mean, I don't even use Touch ID because it doesn't work half the time.
Yeah.
And I guess the camera's better. I like having burst mode, but if I paid, you know, I would never recommend someone pay $200 to get burst mode.
Yeah. Neither would I, especially when there's an app called
There's an app that already does it.
Snappy Cam, I think.
I think Apple bought, so
yeah, that app works really well too.
Doesn't exist anymore.
They killed it?
They bought it.
Well, Apple bought it.
So they're not updating the app? Dude, I want my dollar back. What the heck?
Well, you still got the app. They didn't take it away.
But I want lifetime updates.
For free.
I want to never pay for again for that app. I just want them to keep making it better. That sucks. do you guys think that there's any possibility that Apple will kill off the 5C?
Oh, I mean, they killed the 5.
They've never killed something. They've never killed something. They didn't really kill the 5.
Well, you
they just put the 5
one.
In a plastic case, and they called it the 5C.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you think they'll kill their lesser expensive model and just go back to the way they were doing it before? This seems absurd to me. I don't know why they would do this.
That's a tough question.
Yeah, I doubt it, because I think it's, you know, I think they made it for China and emerging markets, and I don't think they've had a chance to really test it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure they'll keep it around for a little while. I don't know, unless it's really tanking, but I don't think it's really tanking.
It'll take the place of the 4S right now, right? And maybe introduce a new one?
Yeah, maybe it'll go free.
Mm-hmm.
They've already set up all the, you know, the production lines and everything like that, so I don't think it makes any sense for them to kill it.
I don't either, but that was part of the rumor from Wall Street Journal. But that seems to be kind of wacky to me. Man, Alex, you did a post in September about larger screen iPhones. This is along the lines of the Wall Street Journal rumor too. And they said a 4.8 to 6-inch iPhone screen. 6 inches, wouldn't that be great? Or are you guys in that, no, I want it to be as small as possible crowd?
No,
I like 6 inches.
6 inches would be incredible. I think that for me would be perfect.
Yeah, 6 inches is good.
Wow. Okay. To each their own. Should we talk about?
I mean, it's not great. Like, there's room okay. for growth.
Now you're backpedaling. Okay. All right. Should we talk about Tim Cook, my favorite man of the year? I love Tim Cook. He was on ABC. Was it ABC or CBS?
It was ABC News.
Okay. And I'm not sure if this is the same interview that I saw, Alex, but I thought it was really cool. This isn't the one where he was on with Craig Federighi and...
Yeah, it is.
You didn't like that one?
No, it's not that it wasn't bad. It was just like they made it sound like they had this like giant world-exclusive interview that was... gonna take up the whole show, you know, and it was like two minutes long. Actually, I think the final interview that they aired was shorter than the two teaser clips that they used to hype up the interview earlier in the day, and there was stuff in the teaser clips that wasn't even in the interview, so it was weird.
Do they post, because I feel like the part that I saw it didn't really feel like the whole interview, so I'm wondering if they posted the whole thing in their entirety. Did you guys see that?
I mean, no. They posted like a heavily edited like 2.5 minute thing and called it an interview.
Oh, okay.
It was very. I mean, Apple does this with everybody, but it was very obvious that the whole thing was scripted and they were saying what they were allowed to say, and like the questions were ones that Apple had said they were allowed to ask. And there was one little funny thing where he joked about the ring. You remember the eye ring?
Yeah. That was great. I think they were asking Tim Cook about new product categories. Yeah, and is that when he's like...
He's like, no, we're making a ring.
We're making an eye ring, y'all. And he started tapping his nose and winking
Was that the infamous analyst you grilled, Buster, that said that? Or was that somebody
Ryan
else?
Ryan White?
Yeah.
I don't remember who said it.
It was one of those analysts. Yeah. And you saw Bud Trouble play the piano.
We saw who?
Bud Tribble.
Who's that?
Oh, yeah, Bud Tribble. We met him at Macworld last year.
Oh, we did meet that guy.
Yeah, one of the original members of the Macintosh team.
Was he... He was in the interview, too?
Yeah, briefly.
Okay, I must not have seen the whole thing. Anything?
2 minutes.
Yeah.
You quit.
You know, after like 5 seconds, I was like, I've seen enough of this. As soon as Tim Cook wasn't on the screen anymore, I was like, I'm done. Signing off. Yeah. Anything else of note from this interview that we should probably mention? It was just fun to watch, bottom line. If you haven't seen it, you should go online and check it out.
He was like, the NSA needs to be more transparent.
But you got to give it to him for having really canned answers. Tim Cook, at least in my opinion, he comes off as being very authentic and genuine. He doesn't really sound like he's just reading off a screen like those executives did at the Samsung keynote events at CES, where they're like verbatim reading the screen and you can tell they're reading the screen. That takes some real talent.
Yeah. It was cool. The fact that he reads like hundreds of customer emails every day.
Oh, thank you for mentioning that. Yes, that was the part that I thought was really awesome. So one of the things that he did say was that he gets, he wakes up at 3:30 every morning to start work, which is crazy, right? How much these guys are working. And one of the things that he does every single day is he reads 700 to 800 emails from customers every single day. And he said he doesn't normally respond to all of them, obviously, but he will pick some and respond to them. So I thought, you know what we should do for his birthday, since we know that he actually reads his customer emails? We should get everyone to send him a happy birthday email.
Yeah.
And then invite him on the show.
Okay. That's a good idea. Let's try it.
Hey, you know what? You never know.
Yeah, that's a fine idea.
He might be so touched that we organize this big happy birthday Tim Cook campaign, y'all.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is the verbatim what we'll call it, that he actually might come on the show.
Oh, yeah, especially if we throw y'all in. Right.
Yeah.
Especially if we make a southern slur. That'll really...
That's not a negative thing. He might really appreciate that.
If you're really not from the South and you're saying y'all, it's usually because you're making fun of it. I can say it because I'm from the South.
Oh.
But you're up there in hipster paradise.
Oh, come on. This isn't Portland or San Francisco. Leander's in hipster paradise.
Okay, Leander is in hipster paradise. Yeah, for sure.
Leander is the most hipster guy you've ever seen. You've not seen skinny jeans until you've seen Leander. And he's always got like a perfectly curled and oiled mustache.
Yeah, corduroy jackets and skinny jeans.
Yeah. Sometimes he handcrafts his own clothing. I mean, my gosh. Don't make fun of me for being hipster. Let's talk about Apple TV, shall we? Because we got some really big news, I thought, this week on Apple TV. And we're expecting an update soon. Alex, can you fill us in? Because not only are we getting an update, but we're expecting kind of a big change in the living room, yeah?
Yeah, well, there's rumors that they're going to finally do some kind of gaming store or more enhanced games. I don't know. Unless they do SDK finally, which would be huge for developers to make apps, I don't really know what the enhanced gaming thing is going to be. Because you can already AirPlay a game to an Apple TV, right? So I guess it'll be some kind of game store. Not really sure at this point, but they've got the pieces are coming together with the, you know, the MiFi controllers
right. That
work with iOS 7.
Yep.
And, you know, all the controllers that are coming out. So don't know, but Apple usually has an event around March, and it looks like this is going to be on the cards for that, some kind of Apple TV update. And it's been a long time coming. It's been a couple of years. So,
well, not only that, but just recently, Apple, I don't know if you guys noticed, if you go to, I think it's just apple.com, or let me see, store.apple.com, they have moved, store.apple.com. They have moved the Apple TV into the main navigation now. It's no longer one of those, you know, products that you have to go find, like the airport extreme router or something.
Yeah.
Now it's a prime time product.
Right. I mean, interesting.
To your point, I mean, they are. They're setting everything up, right? Now they have the MiFi controllers, the MFi controllers. Mm-hmm. And they are going to support gaming controllers and iOS. We've already talked about gaming controllers coming to market. We saw some at CES. Now there's rumors that they're going to bring gaming to the Apple TV. And now they've moved the product into the main navigation, which is a very intentional move. They don't do that for all their products. So maybe we're about to see Apple really step it up with Apple TV.
Very possible.
That could be really cool. But I kind of wonder if it's going to be just iOS games or if they're going to go full on like gaming console. Any thoughts around that?
No, I don't think they'll do a gaming console at all. No.
So you think this is going to be like that Android console, like the Ouya?
No, I mean, they just need to build off of what they have. They have like the most profitable gaming store in the world already. Mm-hmm. So people love iOS games, and they're not like Halo, but people play them. A lot of people love to play them, and they're getting better as far as, you know, like the Walking Dead game and the Game of Thrones games that are coming out are going to be pretty professional looking. So I think they just need to keep doing what they're doing, and they'll probably just make it easier for developers to make games more native to the TV experience.
Well, you definitely can't argue. We're going to see bigger things in Apple TV sometime soon. This is a very deliberate move, and all the pieces are coming together. So I'm pretty excited about this, especially because, like you said, Alex, there's some great games on iOS. That Walking Dead game was one of my favorite games I played in 2013. Did you guys play it?
I never played too many games.
Oh, it was superb. Even though it wasn't like action-packed, or I shouldn't say not action-packed. It's not like a Halo-type game where there's a lot of movement. But the story from Telltale Games that they wove into that game was absolutely fantastic. So I'm really excited about that. And you mentioned the Game of Thrones game, Alex. Do you know if that's being produced by the same studio?
It is.
Telltale Games as well. Oh, interesting.
Yeah it's going to be awesome. Not out yet, but it's going to be great.
Telltale Games is making some great stuff these days, so that's pretty exciting. Hey, so I want to talk about a topic that I think we should bring some attention to, and we're going to get into faves and raves, of course, and my pick this week is the best pick I think I've ever had, because I've been reviewing this thing, and it's been a hoot and a holler, as they would say in Arkansas. Right, Alex?
I don't know. I'm not from there.
I thought you were from Arkansas.
Nope.
Sorry, Louisiana. Okay, but before we do that, I want to give a thanks to Ting. That's the sound of you saving money on your wireless bill. Tell me they should not pay to have that as their new slogan. Ting is great. Let me tell you why. Because unlike most other wireless carriers, they are not trying to screw you over. They believe in being honest. They believe in only charging you for the data, the texts, and the minutes that you use. I was like, what's the third thing that people use? Because I hardly ever use minutes. You get to choose the buckets that you want to pay for, and they don't overcharge for those buckets. So you end up paying a lot less for your service. And they have really great rates, as I said. And they let you have unlimited lines. So you can have as many devices as you want on your plan, sharing all that text message data and minutes. And they only charge you $6 per line. There's never any contracts. So this is particularly good for families or businesses. If you have either one of those and you have multiple people using your lines, this is a great way to save money because Ting only charges $6 per line for your phones. I'm paying $40 a line right now. It's a lot more expensive, and Ting has excellent customer service. You know, when you call customer service and you have a problem, and after four rings, Ting is going to pick up, maybe five rings. They're going to pick up. You're going to talk to a real human. And did I mention no contracts? You never have to sign a contract with Ting at all. They're just a great wireless carrier. And if you're looking for a new wireless carrier, I know a lot of us are on contracts. But when you're coming off your contract, Ting is definitely a carrier that you should check out. Head over to cultcast.ting.com. And the nice thing about doing that is not only are you going to qualify for a $25 credit off your first purchase, so you can take your iPhone to Ting if you'd like, or you can take an Android phone, or you can buy a phone from Ting. But you could save $25 off that purchase or $25 off your new line of service. So you can also check out their savings calculator, which will show you exactly how much you'll save. So we want to thank Ting for sponsoring. Thanks, Ting! Cultcast.ting.com. Leander, I know you got to run pretty soon, right. So you might have to miss Faves and Raves. But since we got some time, I do want to bring this up because we just had a major development in net neutrality. And this was another thing on our Facebook page. Colin Stever asked, hey guys, can you talk about the loss of net neutrality, what it can mean for Apple now that carriers have more power, and what Apple could do to defend it? I thought this was a great question. I care a lot about net neutrality. I think you all should care about this, especially if you live in the US, because this is going to affect you and how much you pay for your internet service, for your wireless bills. But first, a primer, if you will. Let me explain what net neutrality is very simply. It's the principle that the internet service providers and governments should treat data equally on the internet. So there's no discriminating or charging differently for users or content or sites or platforms applications. Basically, the internet should be dumb pipes. You should pay to access those dumb pipes. But the carriers especially shouldn't get to throttle you. They shouldn't get to make you pay more to use certain services. Like, you know, you guys remember the 90s? This is exactly how it was in the 90s. And just to be fair, I want to describe both sides of the argument because some people think that net neutrality should be a thing and some people think it shouldn't be a thing. Proponents think that telecom companies will seek to impose a tiered service model in order to control pipelines and remove competition, create artificial scarcity, and oblige customers, us, to pay more for these uncompetitive services. So they want to have net neutrality. Opponents, mainly the telecoms themselves, claim that broadband service providers have no plans to block content or degrade network performance. Of course, they're going to treat you fairly. You don't need to regulate them. And despite this claim, I don't know if you guys remember when Comcast several years ago was caught throttling torrent traffic. Do you guys remember this?
Yeah.
So they were monitoring torrent traffic on their network. And if you were torrenting something, even legally, I mean, there's legal and non-legal torrenting, they were throttling you. So they were slowing down those speeds. That is a prime example of them controlling the applications and stuff on their networks. And if we don't have net neutrality, they're going to be allowed to legally do such things. So with that said, in 2010, the FCC, which controls communications in the United States, came up with all these rules and said, okay, you're not allowed to throttle, you're not allowed to do all these things, you have to be net neutral if you're going to be a carrier in the United States. Well, just recently, Verizon challenged that in court and won. So now net neutrality is gone, essentially. And the carriers are once again allowed to do whatever they want. And that's why people are worried. So if you hear about net neutrality, that's why. Because now the carriers could, for instance, let's say you're a Netflix subscriber. They could slow down your Netflix traffic. And they could say, hey, you know what? You're going to pay us to access the internet. We're also going to charge Netflix. Because Netflix video takes up a lot of bandwidth on our system. And if Netflix wants to send video to you, you're paying to use the internet. They need to pay us too. Otherwise, we're going to slow down their traffic. You guys, I know before the show, said you didn't really know very much about net neutrality. Does this boil your blood at all? Or am I the only one getting my underwear in a bunch over it? Buster, Alex?
I was going to let Buster talk.
Oh, sorry.
Buster, just, talk!
So it was such a long rant there.
I know, it was a rant. I'm sorry.
Hold my focus on you. No, I mean, net neutrality, the end of it will suck. It's a bummer. I mean, but for a company like Apple, I mean, the thing about, you know, the loss of net neutrality is it gives advantage to, like, companies who can, you know, set up those deals with, like, AT&T or your cable carrier. So for Apple, it would be great because, you know, all of their iTunes content could, you know, be pumped into you faster, you know, whereas, like, startups, it would really suck for them. They wouldn't have as much opportunities and have as fast download speeds and stuff.
Well, to Colin Stever's point, Lander, I know you got to run. Feel free just to hop off.
Yeah, I better go.
I'm going to miss you terribly. Have fun at the White Wall.
Wish I could hang around for this fascinating discussion.
Oh, so fascinating.
I got to go have a root canal.
Go enjoy your root canal. Tell them that you don't need Novocaine.
Okay, see you guys. Bye.
Well, to Colin's question, do you guys think Apple should or could do anything about this?
What could Apple do to defend against it?
They can lobby against it, but I mean,
it's Apple's no favor for there to be like no net neutrality in some ways.
You think so?
I mean, as far as like customers getting a fair experience, you know, maybe not. But as far as them having an edge over competition and being able to use that $100 billion they have to like buy a little extra speed, like sure, it could be a good thing.
That's a great point. Yeah. Well, see, that's exactly the argument with people who support net neutrality is they feel like that shouldn't be legal because the startups are going to have an unfair shake, and companies like Apple who have limitless money are going to get faster speeds.
Yeah, especially in like a business landscape today where like internet is such a crucial part of it and everybody won't be on the same level playing field anymore. Mm-hmm. If you have money, you will be faster than other people.
Yeah, man, it just reminds me of the 90s and how things were then. And
yeah, with everything bound to AOL.
Yeah, and every device you want to access the internet with gets charged, you know.
Uh-huh.
Because they're controlling your devices and stuff. And I don't think it's a very consumer-friendly way of doing business. Like, and I don't trust telecoms to manage themselves.
Yeah.
Netflix did an interesting thing. I think this is the way Apple would probably go as well, is they recently warned customers about net neutrality. Because, you know, a lot of people don't even know what it is and why they should care, which is why I wanted to bring it up, because I at least want people to be informed about what it is and why it affects them. And they said that if ISPs, since they now have no rules governing their, you know, their ability to slow down networks or do whatever they want, if they start abusing those, they're going to start using their money to let people know. And I hope that Apple will do the same thing. And I think that they will. You know,
well, Netflix is obviously lobbying pretty hard against this because, you know, the first thing ISPs are going to start throttling is Netflix because everyone uses Netflix and they suck a ton of bandwidth. So it's in Netflix's best interest for there to be net neutrality.
I think it's in Apple's best interest too, though, because, I mean, you look at iTunes Radio, a lot of things in the future are all going to start streaming. There's iCloud, right, which, you know, moves all of your backup information into the cloud. And Apple would have to pay additional money for those services to run at full speed. So it would cost Apple a lot of money, too. It wouldn't just be Netflix. I mean, everything is moving to the internet. And internet service providers are doing all they can to make sure you have to pay them for this, you know, for speed and for content. And they make it sound like they're you know, doling out something that's worth something, like it's like oil, like your bandwidth is oil and it's limited. It's not limited, but they make it feel like it's limited. It's just like text messages, right? Like they're unlimited.
Getting so bad at this.
And yet they still charge you, you know, a lot of money for these things. And I don't know. I'm a huge net neutrality supporter. And hopefully I've swayed everyone listening to take up their cause, write their congresspeople, and complain about this. But with that said, let's end on a cheerier topic, shall we, guys? So it's a little segment that we haven't done in a while that we call Faves and Raves and Faves and Raves and
Faves.
Yeah. Thanks, Buster. This is the segment where we pitch our favorite tech and apps. And then you know what? We're going to do something a little different. We're going to vote on which one we think is best. And then we're also going to let you guys vote on it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCultCast, because several of our users recommended that we do that because they want to hear us vote on each other as well. So I mentioned earlier, I think I have one of the most fun products I have ever pitched on this show. But does anyone want to go first? I want to be a gentleman.
No, you can go first.
Okay. Yeah,
it's the best ever. I want to bust it.
Okay. This is going to be it's a little bit expensive, but Buster, if you'll recall, when we were at CES, we met the guys from Curry Tech is the name of their business, and they sell hybrid and electric bicycles.
Oh, okay? You got one?
I got one of those.
I got an electric bicycle.
Well, hold on. They're only lending it
to the Cultcast as a favor.
They're only lending it to me for 2 weeks, okay? So I don't get to keep it. But what it is this is the future, guys. This is the future. It's an electric bicycle with a battery in it, okay? It does two things. It does two things. You can operate it in full electric mode. So it looks just like a bicycle, except the seat's a little wider because it has to hold a battery pack in there. And it lets you go full electric, so you can just gun it. There's a throttle, just like a motorcycle, and you can go up to 28 miles an hour like that, okay? And they govern it because actually it could go faster, but it's not legal to go faster. And the other cool part is it does hybrid power assist. So when you're pedaling and you have it in hybrid assist mode, it amplifies the power of your legs like you're a cyborg. So you will be bombing down like the street. You'll be bombing up hills. It's so incredible because when you're pedaling, the power kicks in. And all of a sudden, you're blasting past like professional bikers in like the bike lanes, and you're like on your left, and you're just like casually pumping, right? But you're going like 25 miles an hour, which on a bicycle is really fast. I've been having so much fun on one of these things. It's $4,000, but they have different
super
models.
Practical.
The one that I have is one of the top of the line ones. You can get cheaper ones. But if you are a bike commuter, this actually would be practical for you because you could ride your bike to the bus and then, you know, bus to wherever you're going. And it really does a good job of evening out the hills because it makes going up hills really easy. So that's my pick. It's the eFlow, by the way. I don't think I mentioned that. That's the brand, the eFlow. And it's one of those bikes and it is just super big blast. I recommend everyone try one. That's my pick. Who's next?
I have a much, much cheaper pick. It's just not as cool.
Is it a free app?
It is a free app, yeah.
What is it?
It's called Eidetic.
Huh?
And basically what it is, it's just an app to help you like memorize different stuff, like phone numbers, like dictionary definitions, little facts. And so it is, you just like add, you know, what you want to memorize, like, if you have like, you know, your girlfriend's phone number and you or something, and you just plug it in, and it through repetition, it helps you memorize stuff. Like if you have a big quote, it'll like block out sections of it, so you kind of have a little bit of a hint as to what you should be memorizing.
Mm-hmm.
So far, it's been pretty good for students. I think it's a no-brainer, especially if like you're looking to cram for like a bunch of definitions. It's pretty helpful for helping like learn new words and stuff like that.
What have
I also,
you been using it to learn?
Phone numbers, like family members'
phone numbers.
You're
trying to memorize
your
family members' phone numbers?
Yeah, because if I ever get into a bind and the popo takes my phone, I'm never going to be able to call anybody.
I was like, that's hipster right there, man. You're like, I'm just going to memorize everyone's phone numbers. Who needs my iPhone to remember? I don't even enter them in. I just remember them.
It's kind of like my worst fear is one that I have is that I'll lose my phone and then all the phone numbers and I'll be in a bind and not be able to communicate with anyone because you can't remember anyone's phone number because you just hit their name now.
I like that you have so many police altercations that you're worried they're going to confiscate your phone and you're not going to know your lawyer's phone number.
Better call Saul.
Better call Saul. Okay, sorry, Buster, what was that called, the name of the app?
Eidetic.
Eidetic?
Starts with an E, though.
E-I-D-E-T-I-C.
Okay, and it's free.
Yep.
Okay, Alex.
Okay. This is also something that I saw at CES. It's called the Unu Aero Wireless Charging Battery Case for the iPhone 5S/5. And, you know, like the Mophie packs?
Mm-hmm.
It's basically like that, except it's wireless charging. So it doesn't, you don't have to plug it in to your Mac or to a power strip.
You're
to,
just gonna lay it
to
down
charge
on
it.
A power pad
it,
or
it
something.
It comes with this metallic slab that you can just set like next to your bed or, you know, nightstand or whatever. And just at the end of the day, you just set the case with the iPhone in it on top of the conductive slab, and it just starts charging.
How long does it take to recharge?
Yeah, I was going to ask that same thing.
It's from my testing, it's about identical to what it would take to like actually plug it in.
Wow, it's that fast.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. There's two metal nodes on the back of the case that's what has to be touching the slab for it to work, and it's passed through charging.
It has to be right there on the pad, huh?
It has to be on the pad, yeah.
Okay.
But it's... You know, like those battery cases make it hard to plug in cables and stuff. Yeah. So it's a lot nicer for that.
Is the case really bulky?
No, it's about like a Mophie. And it's got like it was able to charge my battery up about 50%, which is not bad. And there's a black and a silver version, and it retails for $100. So not cheap, but it's competitive with other ones that don't have wireless charging.
Definitely convenient too.
Yeah. And they have a more protective one. That's kind of like more like an OtterBox. It's got a built in battery too. So I'm going to be taking it to Russia for sure here in the coming weeks.
Oh yeah. You're going to Russia.
Come in handy. Yeah.
To compete in the Olympics, right?
Yeah.
Ice dancing?
Yeah.
Curling.
Figure skating.
Dude, you seem like you could be a figure skater. You would look great in sequins.
Yeah. Will Ferrell is my partner. So
you're going to be playing the girl role then.
Yes.
That's awesome, man.
And this doesn't count as my pick, but I kind of just say that people should check out the new Dark Sky weather app.
Is that good, huh?
Yeah, it's really good. Probably not for Buster because it never rains where Buster is.
The weather never changes.
Yeah, but if you live in a place with shifting weather patterns like the bipolar state of Kentucky that I live in, it's great because it'll send you a push notification when it's about to rain or snow. And it's got really nice maps, really nice slick interface. It was just updated for iOS 7 as a free update. It's definitely, I think, the best weather app out there.
Okay. Gentlemen, the time has come where you must vote on whose you think is best. Who wants to go first? Buster, go first.
I'll go first.
Okay.
I will vote for the bike since it's obviously the most superior thing mentioned today.
I really hope you get to try one out. I know you wrote it on that little stationary thing.
I bet it doesn't compare.
Oh, dude, it's so much fun. It's so much fun. Alex?
I'm going to vote for Buster's app because the bike's ridiculous.
What?
Thank you.
The bike is the wave of the future. Do you not like the future?
No. I mean, I just, that's ridiculous. I'm not going to pay $4,000 for an electric
bike.
They
have cheaper 4,000? Models.
I thought it was $2,000.
They have,
no.
It's between, they have models between $1,700 and $4,000. In fact, I think they have models up to like
$8,000. Holy.
But dude, a professional bicycle, like cycling bicycle, can cost you that much.
Yeah, but that's such a niche thing. Like that's,
I
Buster's thing is
buy
so much
a Vespa
more.
Vespa for like $4,000.
Yeah, but a Vespa is different because you can't take a Vespa on a bus. I mean, this is for commuting. I mean, you could take this thing anywhere.
Pitch me, AirPod.
And no, because I've had people say this same thing. I mean, hey, look, I'm not going to spend $4,000 either because I don't have $4,000 spent on a bicycle. But when people were like, oh, but you could get a Vespa, that's very true. You could probably get a decent motorcycle as well. But you could take this thing on a train. You could take it on a bus. I mean, it's really great for city commuting. You could take it a lot of places that you could never take, like a full-on motorized vehicle, which is why, to me, I'm like, it really makes sense.
I'm still voting for
Okay, that's fine. I know who the people are going to vote for. I know who the people are going to side for, and this wrong will be righted. I'm going to vote.
It's tied.
Yeah, but I'm voting for Buster's.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yeah. Even though yours sounds decent.
The cheapest thing always wins, man.
That's not
true.
You're going
to vote for his memorization app?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's only strictly out of spite for you. Okay.
That's my strategy in this, is to just hit everybody against each other.
This whole fave and race thing has been like, this has been rigged from the beginning, so I don't even care.
No. You never can tell who's going to win, because, I mean, obviously my choices each week or each time are superior.
I'm just going to pick, I'm going to pick like a new Ferrari next time.
You got to have something that you're testing. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
otherwise, I'm going to pick like the freaking space shuttle.
Okay. Well, that's my fine, pick. Because I have a Ferrari. So
yeah, right. You can't have Hot Wheels on the side, dude. All right. Well, hey, if you guys want to vote on which cult or Fave and Rave pick you think is best, head on over to facebook.com/TheCultCast and let us know. Let's wrap it up there, guys. That's all the cult cast we have for you guys this week. We would love it if you would join us on Twitter. Buster's BST3R. Alex is Alex E. Heath. Leander is L. Caney. I'm at Airfon, ERFON. This has been the CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank all of you guys for listening. And from my heart to yours, we'll see you guys next time. Can anyone do a good Robert Baratheon?
Wine!
Kingslayer! Get in there!
Hello.
Bluthster.
Hey, what's up?
You got your jean shorts on?
Oh, dude, I got my never nudes on for sure.
That's silly of me to ask. I know you're always wearing them.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happens when you're never nude. It's the definition of.
Are you wearing anything else, though?
Oh, no, of course not. I waxed my chest, too, so I don't even have
Ouch.
Any chest there.
Ugh.
Just streamlined and just ready for pleasure.
I never would have thought that having no chest hair would have meant more pleasure. I should try that.
Oh.
The guys at the toolbox bar downtown, they're really into that look.
Oh, yeah.
I want to look so good in my Indian YMCA outfit now.